will then be guided by you in terms of who responds on what. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair. Good afternoon, Honourable Members. We will start with questions, because most of them were relating to finance, to Karim. And then after that, it will be the CEO. I'll be the last person to respond. Thank you. And Ntate Maphata, the CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Honourable Chair. And honourable members, a number of questions, I think there were 10 or 11, dealt with a number of financial issues, and I will attempt to answer them as best I can, and supported by our CFO to fill in the gaps where perhaps I miss out something. The first question was around office space and whether it's been resolved, and I think this question was also repeated a couple of times. Essentially, we went through a process of procurement. A tender went out in the early part of last year. We got to the point of selecting a suitable premises and then submitted the tender for review to National Treasury. They advised that we needed to improve certain areas of the tender and request certain additional information. Unfortunately, by the time we obtained all the information, the selected premises were no longer available, and another tenant had taken it up. Fortunately for us, we were able to secure within a very short space of time another option, again in consultation with National Treasury, and we are now in the final throes of securing those premises. There is one final approval that we need from the Minister of Health's office. And a concurrence by National Treasury, and from the preliminary work that we've done, we are confident that we should be able to move within the next 3 months or so. At the moment, just for members' information, if you are not aware, the entire staff complement of the Office of Health Standards Compliance is in fact housed at the MRC offices in Pretoria. It is extremely cramped. And in fact, it's a lot of staff are complaining about the current working conditions, so we're doing our best to try and get people into the new premises as soon as possible. The second question dealt with performance targets, which are remaining largely the same as the previous year or marginally increased. And again, this question also came up, I think, more than once. Chair, this is really related to our volumes and the consistency of the entities that we are dealing with. Of course, there are escalations as well in complaints, etc., so the volume also increase. And also bearing in mind, we are still a fairly young organization in development, really, and growing. We are employing staff, training them, etc., all at the same time, so we wanted to have a stable base of performance measures that people could work towards for achievement over the next year or two. And that's one of the main reasons why we didn't try to escalate the targets in any significant way, because it could have set us up for failure rather than to try and achieve what was realistic for us to achieve. There were also questions around the increase in certain costs, marketing publications up to 2.6 million, and then there was a question in terms of context of the staff increasing by 17 people, yet the operating cost of leases are budgeted to increase by a significant amount, etc. And really, and there were assets as well and so on. The context to that has to do with the premises and the fact that we were not able to secure premises during the 16-17 and even through most of 2017-18 financial year. So the rental that is reflected in the actual performance from the previous year is in fact the portion that we had only paid to the MRC for the limited space that we are renting there. And the new year makes budget provision for the full new building, which will accommodate all the staff, including things like meeting rooms, training center, etc., etc. And a significant portion of that is also to deal with the call center facility, because people are cramped in that particular space at the moment. So I didn't deal with those cost increases individually, but they're all related, whether it's the operating leases, the furniture costs, etc. There was also a question around legal fees and, you know, the recovery of that. Unfortunately, the regulations relating to the tribunal, which deals with these cases from come from the ombudsman, are not empowered in terms of the law to recover costs like they would normally. You would get a cost order against against the party that loses the case. That's not applicable in our particular case, so the cost is really just for us. So if we were to be able to recover the cost, it would require a legislative amendment or a regulatory amendment in order to do so. We would prefer to do that and get that, but of course we will have to work with the Department of Health to be able to affect such a change. Chair, as I said, the question of the building came up more than once, so I'm not going to deal with that again. The same with the indicators. Chair, there was a question around publicity, marketing, and the lease, and then there was a question also around travel and subsistence costs. Chair, the nature of the operations of the, particularly the inspection unit, is that they travel to many, many different parts of the country, rural areas out of Pretoria. So there's usually air travel costs. They have to hire vehicles. Many times the vehicles they have to hire are 4x4s because they are going into fairly inaccessible areas where the roads and travel conditions are quite perilous. It's the accommodation for them to stay and their meals. Typically an inspection, and I stand under correction, team would be out for between 5 and 6 days away from home. And so that's why what the travel and accommodation costs are in relation to. Be rest assured that we try and procure within the austerity measures as required by National Treasury as much as possible, and try to stick to all of those requirements as regulated. So in terms of what steps are we taking to curb these costs, as I say, we have controls in terms of how people spend the money, etc. Also, people usually travel in multiple numbers of people in one vehicle, 4 or 5 to a vehicle when they go out on inspection, so there's not multiple vehicles being used for the same inspection. One of the big challenges that has been raised is the question of how will the issue of staff complements be dealt with, and this is a budgetary constraint that we have to deal with. Unfortunately, the National Treasury did in the early part of this year cut budgets across the board for all departments and entities, and it's also one of the reasons why we haven't increased our performance targets in any particular way, because we will be constrained in terms of the number of people that we will be able to employ to deal with complaints, investigations, etc. But we will try our best within our means to accommodate as much recruitment as we need to be able to sustain our current performance at least. Chair, there was also a question about why are we getting involved with legal costs? So essentially what's driving these legal costs, and unfortunately this is something that will increasingly happen as we conduct more investigations, and particularly when we start doing investigations and inspections at private institutions. My experience is when that starts to happen, the legal bills go up because private institutions will resist and try to challenge any report that we will put out. So as soon as our reports and our findings are being challenged and taken to court on the review, etc., we are unfortunately drawn into a legal situation. Otherwise, our reports will get overturned and our processes will become meaningless in this exercise. In order for us to continue to defend what we're doing and set precedents in terms of what our reports state, etc., we do have to defend those cases. And in this particular case, the findings that the ombudsman made were significantly challenged by all the senior party, affected parties, and there were appeals, etc., as well. So we had to deal with all of those. Chair, I think I've dealt with all the finance questions. I don't know if I left anyone else. honourable members, feel free to reprimand me if I did miss anything of significance. Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to add, there was also a question on the costs of the board. The costs are made up of the board fees, their travelling, etc., and the board fees are prescribed by the National Treasury. Every year they prescribe how much is payable to the board members. So that those are the rates that we use, as well as their traveling, accommodation, etc. And just to add to the question on the increasing cost for staff, whereas the numbers have not increased that much, there are two aspects to it. One is that the total number is increasing by 17, as has been observed. The second aspect is that for the existing staff members, there are cost of living adjustments, etc. And those we get also from the National Treasury, because the OHSC is using the salary scales of the public sector, DPSA. So whenever they change, we also change them. So they're the same as those of the public sector. So the National Treasury every year issues out a guideline on the preparation of MTF budgets. So those are the rates that we use. On average, the costs have increased by 8% year on year on compensation. So the two elements of new staff and existing staff, cost of living adjustments, as we get the rates from the National Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
And etc. Just to say, it's traveling, it's accommodation, it's refreshment, etc. makes us to be more curious. What is it that you're hiding? I don't want to tell you. I don't want us to tell you how much it costs for their travel, do they have 3 meals a day? Mm-mm. Just refreshments, the budget line, whatever cost line items, if you can just. So that's all what you needed. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. We received a number of questions from honourable members around the increase in marketing and publication costs by the office. At some point in the 2017-18 financial year, the Health Portfolio Committee raised a concern to the office that it is not known outside. Subsequent to that concern, the office embarked on an accelerated communication campaign, which lasted for 3 months, starting August 2017 to October. It was a radio broadcast campaign in the SABC and also the community-based radio stations. And this was meant to make the work of the office known to the communities. So that was the reason why we had the escalated costs for the marketing and publication. Some of the publication would then relate to the reports of the Life Asset Mini and our other annual and APP reports. We also asked a question that how are we marketing this Office of Health Standard Compliance? Our focus mainly is on rural areas because we feel that we still need to do much, much more in terms of raising visibility. But we have also translated our information, education, and communication material in local languages so that it can be easily reached. And what we also do is that when some of the team members disseminate the inspection results, they are accompanied by the communication team so that we constantly inform the public as well as the hospitals about the office. But we do accept that we still need to do more, in particular in the rural and in the poor communities. We were also asked to unpack our roadshows. The focus of our roadshows really is to visit the public places such as the taxi ranks and the hospitals. And we also partner with some of the regulatory bodies like the HPCSA. In the last quarter, we've conducted quite a number of joint roadshows with them. And these really went to the rural areas like in Limpopo and in the Northwest. And we also do raise awareness in the tertiary institutions In fact, as a matter of fact, today some team members were here in Cape Town, again raising awareness amongst the students at the Investor Stellenbosch on the work of the office. So our reach is wide, but we do accept that we need to focus more on those, I think, communities where, you know, it would not necessarily be easy for them to reach the mainstream information. We were asked whether we think the call center is functioning. The call center was established in November 2017. Within 3 months of its existence, we had received more than 700 complaints. Now, as we have said from, as we have heard from some of the board members, the issue is that we don't have adequate space. We still need, you know, to set it up in a space that would be more conducive for staff. But at the moment, on the average, we get about 300 or so complaints a month. So looking at the fact that it's been barely a year of its operation, we think it is functional, and it is one activity in the office that we monitor very closely. We were also requested to give a breakdown of, you know, the type of complaints that we receive and from which provinces. Honorable Chair, this is contained in our annual report, which we are going to share with this Health Portfolio Committee. We would request, Chair, that we share with you the audited results of these complaints so that we don't just give figures at the moment, but this is information that we'll certainly make available to the committee. The honorable members also wanted to know the norms and standards that have been that we recommended to the minister. Thus far, it's two. The first, the one that we have mentioned, that it was promulgated in, this year on the 2nd of February, and these are norms and standards for clinics, for community healthcare centers and hospitals. We have also recommended to the minister the norms and standards for general practice. The question was, if those have not been promulgated, what are the reasons? There is a process that also the department, in this case the minister, undertakes before promulgation, which includes public comments, and people are given time to comment. So it is a process that is underway. There was also a concern from an honorable member on the percentage of investigations that are responded to within 6 months, where it was said to be 38%. Perhaps to just clarify that the 38% was the audited performance of these investigations that were responded within 6 months for the 2016-17 performance. However, for 2018-19, we have a target of 80%. Honorable members need to also perhaps consider that the complaints management division is the last division of OHSC to be established. The health ombuds appointed in June, the call center established in November, and some of the staff in the components came much later. We do expect that this performance will increase. We are not saying we are adequately staffed in the complaints management. That is one unit that is not adequately staffed, but we also consider the fact that based on the recent investigations, we have seen an escalation of the complaints that have come to the office. Honorable Chair, I think at this point I would like to leave it in and hand over to the Chairperson. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honorable Members. I will deal with the question on number of board members. That also came more than once. The minimum number of board members that we can have is 7, and the maximum is 12. Currently, we are 9, and the one vacancy that we are certainly that the minister needs to appoint somebody is the chairperson, because the previous chairperson, as you know him, Prof. Mazwai, had was taken up with other responsibilities. So it's the chairperson that needs to be appointed by the minister.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Honourable members, we... Oh, okay.
Is it performance?
No, before that,
yeah.
Honourable Wilson, I want to humbly request to members. I don't think it's going to be fair. We had our round, and now we can't, every time there's a response, there is a hand that comes up. That's what has happened. Because it's then going to delay us. But your hand was up so that when whoever is going to respond, maybe it's then going to be able to touch on that. Honourable Wilson.
It's quite simple, actually. First of all, in terms of the lease operating leases, and I understand what the situation is, but surely at 12 million, was it not worth our while looking at to buy our own premises? It's a comment. And I wanted to deal with the legal fees, the million that we're paying out. In the presentation yesterday, we were told that there is an outstanding 28 billion rands worth of claims on the Department of Health. How is that going to affect you and the legal costs? Because, you know, we don't know what those claims are and how they affect you, but it's a huge figure. And I think that's going to be huge in the long run. And just, again, in fact, this is with regards to the board, Chair. There's an awful lot of money being spent on consulting and professional costs. How professional is our board if we are having to go to get them in? How professional is our staff and our board that we have to consult out for consultants and professionals? Just a query. Thank you.
Because we are not here at the time, we were asking questions. I will just allow you to ask a question or two. Honourable Mashale.
No, thanks very much for giving me the time. I was called into the Chief Whip's meeting, so I had to rush there. Well, there are just two questions. If they've been asked, there's no need for them to be answered. When you read the, not sure whether you've encountered a high panel report. There is a high panel that was established by Parliament, headed by the former state president, Halima Mdlante. One of the issues that they've raised around your office is that health facility managers and frontline health workers, as they raise their experience on your interaction with yourself, they felt being demotivated by the way you do things. And not necessarily, in their view, you are not necessarily endangering to ensure that there is quality improvement in your inspection. Because once you do the inspection, you don't provide the necessary educational opportunity and provide remedial action on your observation or on your inspection, on what you've gained in the process of your inspection, and therefore what remedial action they must put in place, how they must correct the situation. You come and put wrong, then you leave. And that doesn't contribute towards quality as per your vision. Instead, it demotivates them more because you are not helping them. You are not working with them. But instead you are doing the opposite of putting wrong, then you leave. You said, no, you are not doing well, then you leave. You don't tell them, you are not doing well here and here. We propose these are the following remedial action that you must undertake in order to correct the situation so that you then improve quality. That's what the report says of the high panel. And this is what they've discovered from the interaction. And if that is true, then it's a problem, because it is our view that your main key task, the reason why you exist, is to improve quality of care. Is to ensure that there is improvement in the quality of care in the public sector facility. But if you are not contributing to that, you are doing the opposite, then you are not helping the situation at all. So I just want to understand where they've encountered into that and what is their view on the matter. But I can also, to some extent, agree with them, because in the reports, the inspection reports that you once delivered to us, there's never been any indication with, no, this is what you have found, these are the remedial actions that you have recommended to the institution to do in order to correct the situation. We once presented some inspection that you've done to us in some institutions. There's never been an indication to say, this is what we've found, and this is what we've then recommended as a remedial action for these institutions to do in order to turn around the situation and improve quality of care. So that's what I wanted to raise, Chair. As I'm saying, if those issues were raised, well, there's no need for them to respond to it.
Chair, you didn't respond to my question. I'm reminded. The caliber of inspectors in terms of race, gender, qualifications. I'm reminded by that question. Because it's relevant to what he is then.
The CEO will respond to that one, but I would just like to respond to the question of the Office of the Healthcare Standard Compliance going to the facilities, whether it be clinics or hospitals, in a manner in which they are punitive instead of empowering the staff. This year, January, we went to the hospitals that were affected by the storms in KwaZulu-Natal. And I want to assure you, sir, a questionnaire can be sent to them by Parliament to ask them how that inspection was. The inspection was done by CEC Committee, Certification and Compliance, and the Executive Managers. It was all about taking them back to what was, it's supposed to happen. We were even giving them examples that in the private sector you don't need a person of quality assurance in order that quality assurance, because we're working under constraints, but we were telling them on how to do these things. And they were very happy that we come up with solutions for them. I won't tell you that, because that's between me and that hospital. You offer support, especially when you realize that this hospital, from the last time they were inspected and given, they did something. So extra support was offered by, by me personally, because I'm a quality person. The other thing is, we told them that we will tell you this, the poor managers are struggling. There is no budget for them. And therefore, we could not say anything to them if a person has been there and there. But what I said to them was, okay, show us the evidence that even the MEC knows about this. Show us the evidence of trails of communication that you have reported this and you have done your best and that it is no longer in your hands. And we told them that you are the people. At least we report to you and you are the people that can help them in their problems if there are any problems. So I want to reassure you that if that happened in the past, and CEO, you were there when we went there, I hope this doesn't happen. Because when we learned initially, we were told that supervision is not to find fault, but a teaching moment to come and support those that need to be supported. So, but Bafana would, yes, that question, but I would like Mr. Msibi first to respond to a question we had forgotten to respond to, and then the CEO will respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just to add to the response of the acting chairperson of the board, that we do issue compliance notice to health establishment, which will clearly indicate what standards they have failed and what is it that they need to do to turn around the situation or work on the gaps. And we also give them time frames to say, you need to respond to us by so many days. And then we continuously monitor, because they have to submit to us evidence so that we can monitor the progress in terms of what we have recommended to them. In answering the question of the caliber of inspectors, most of our inspectors are clinically trained, and most of them, they were nurses. They are still registered as nurses because as part of the appointment of the inspectors, they need to be registered with the relevant professional council. And above all, most of the inspectors, they specialize in specific field. We get those that specialize in ICU, those that specialize in maternity, those that specialize in critical care. And we have also started last year to recruit the medically qualified specialist. We've been struggling in the past, and we've been coming to the board to say we're struggling. At least last year we started to recruit the public health specialist, and there's a process also in office to try and get more of those. But most of our inspectors are quality trained. In terms of the age, most of them are above 40 because of the experience that we need from them. It's more inspectors who've been in the field and who've been around and who understand how the system goes in their respective field. Thank you very much.
Chair, Prof. Whitaker will respond, and then to the numbers, Mr. Maphata will respond.
He will be rounding up, so those will be
okay.
One of the problems that we have with standards is that standards alone do not improve quality. You have to actually implement standards. The other thing is that one has to be very careful that you're not a referee and a player. This is also one of the very important issues. It is up to each service provider, and we're talking about provinces, local authorities, and the private sector who run hospitals, to have their own quality improvement programs in place. The system should work as follows. The Office of Health Standards Compliance comes in and does a comprehensive audit, an inspection of all of the components within our healthcare facilities, looking specifically at risks, which are called domains. Out of these, they then come up with a risk profile, and thereafter they make recommendations on how this risk should be reduced. The responsibility of the hospital then is to conduct an ongoing quality improvement program, which is multidisciplinary disciplinary in nature to address those severities in terms of the potential impact. So you get a response in which you've identified high risk in the different functional areas, or you could know them as the services and departments within the health field, and then from there you start using the capacity within the healthcare facility itself to start reducing the risk. But in addition to that, the province or the supporting organization should have its own quality improvement programs that go out and ensure that their hospitals are in fact meeting the norms and standards as set by the National Department and the Office of Health Standards Compliance. That is the way that this should work, and it's not right to expect the auditor who goes in and identifies deficiencies to address them. That is not the way it works. They can't do that. But what they can do is they can come up for another inspection, a re-inspection, and see whether there's an improvement. And in that way, there should be an ongoing quality improvement initiative. My experience, and I've had 20 years in this field, and I've worked right around the world, is that a hospital, which is as bad as the majority of hospitals and clinics in our country at this point in time in the public sector, will probably need 18 months to 2 years to put things right. So we can't expect this to be a magic bullet that's just going to come in and sort things out. We have to work together with all of the different disciplines, working, identifying high priority problems within the country, working out national strategies to address these in a comprehensive way that's including all of those specific role players in our country.
Can you please switch off your mic? Can you please switch off your mic? CEO, before the last one, so that we round off.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question in terms of the numbers staff. I just wanted to quickly indicate the numbers. Is that there's one ombud. In terms of executive management, we've got four. Senior management, we've got 14. Middle management is 27. Technical and support staff, including the inspectors, is 69. Out of the 69, 56 are the inspectors, actual inspectors. And then the general staff, we've got 6. So that total makes up the 121. Thank you.
I don't know whether is there something that went.
I think that's it. We didn't prepare gender, race, and all that. And I think that you can also get when we go back. I think the CEO will assist with sending that information through to you. I can only say thank you for giving us this chance to come and present the APP. And we hope that this office will bring about change. As Prof says, it's not like tomorrow, but it will take time so that we reach the standards that we know our citizens have to or must get. So that's all I would like to say. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you to the honorable members here.
No, thank you very much. We are the people that when reported to by the department, by the National Department of Health, the need of having this office. We are the people. When I'm saying we, it's the National Assembly through its committees that gave a nod because we understand the sector. Obviously, We are aware that it's not going to be today and tomorrow. But you must understand, when you come in front of the committee, you are going to be asked difficult questions. You will be criticized, at times unfairly. But don't ourselves also, and you do it as members of public. Outside, there's nothing that these members of parliament are doing. And there will be, and members of parliament will have to explain themselves. So feel, don't feel, must not get a sense that you feel offended. Must not get a sense that you think that question that was asked by Honorable Mashalela, none of you have said. In fact, we have read that report because it's your responsibility to read that report. Before you came here, you were supposed to have gone through that report. You were supposed to have gone through the National Development Plan. So that those are some of the documents outside the report of the Department of Health, National Department of Health. So you must not speak as if we don't know the set. We're asking these questions because we have been exposed to that sector. Let me make an example without taking too much time. I ask what complaints, what manner of complaints, and what are you inspecting? Yeah, what are you inspecting? I'm raising that because of one simple thing that we have observed, that health workers today, doctors, nurses, they feel uncomfortable to wear protective clothing. We know for a fact, I won't tell which institution, we have spoken to them, CEO, and this young man said, no, it's an old-fashioned to wear a duster coat. When we went to a particular hospital in a particular province, a doctor performing a procedure, a lumbar puncture, without wearing a simple apron, which when I was working, you will have to have an apron for a particular section, for a particular area in a ward, and gloves. So when I'm asking what are you inspecting, it's those little things that make or break the sector. Even if you have traveled, you have worked, no. It's a global challenge, the issue of the sector. But now, we can't say to our people who chew at 5:30 to be seen at 7, to go home at 4, and we tell them about the global factor in the challenges of health are global. No. To us is what is, when I go to my constituency office, when he goes to his constituency office, these are things that were told by and we'll reflect them to you. It is up to you to then go back and say, but where are we not doing that? Because that's what we are doing as public representatives. So at times, and I think I must come in defense of the committee, at times some of the board members and presenters, they speak as if members are just asking for the sake of asking. No, they're asking because they have been exposed to that environment. And you, we are saying, because we are dealing with a particular history in this sector, entities and institutions like yourselves are to assist the National Department of Health. Don't throw it back to us. No. We are here to answer questions. And if you feel we're unfair, just, okay, we will submit the information, Chair. That's all what we need. We're not questioning your intellect or your professional capacity or integrity, but we are asking questions that we think now in these 24 years we must unearth, we must ask difficult questions, not for ourselves, but for the benefit of the people up in Khayelitsha. Not talking about a person who's seen in Grooteskill, in Khayelitsha, in Guguletu, in Langa, in Mitchell's Plain, in Tofimvaba, in Soweto, on C in PE, Soweto, in Pumalanga. We know, we are sent some of these pictures for your own information of the state. So that's why the question, when you send us the information, please unpack your road shows. Yes, in Limpopo, but in which district in Limpopo? Yes, in Northwest, in which district in? So we would like to get that information, because we think that when we talk about transformation, when we talk about economic, radical economic transformation, it can be outside a healthy community and outside public sector workers in the health sector, health workers, all understanding that they have. So that is your responsibility. So each time we come here, if we've sent an invitation to you to come in front of the committee and it's not quite clear, feel free to phone the secretariat and check for us with the chairperson what is it that he wants. Because the challenge that the more you become general in responding or in your presentation, the more we become curious and want to know. And we're going to do that. And we and I think this committee is doing that with the greatest respect. So when you ask questions, it's because we must not read in between lines, because that's what makes us a little bit edgy. That why are they general? Be free. That's why I was saying when I'm stepping down, I don't want to know how much you pay, how much, what is it that the board members are eating, but it must be for refreshments, for accommodation, for travel, for car hire, and that's all. They are sitting with, they are paid for board sitting. That is something else. It's not within us. It's for the Department of Health to do that. So thank you very much. We're happy that you are, we can see that you are moving forward. Please address the issue of the accommodation. So that, but please, in the main, for us, is people knowing about you, even in that clinic. Because the last question which you must respond when you write, do you open the complaints box when you go and do your inspections? There are complaints box in these institutions. Do you open them? Do inspectors open them and read them? What Honorable Mashalela is raising, please take it. It's not about, it's not about people are making, please take it in that light. If you have not read that report, the High Panel report, which was by Parliament led by the former President, Comrade Mutlande, go and read it, so that you are able to understand and then be able to take all these questions and say, what is it that we must do in moving forward? And for me, that's leadership. Thank you very much. Until we meet again, I think we're going to call you very... We need that information, please. Okay. Thank you.